This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 8:30, down 18¾ on the open. March, 8:29, down 19½. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 8:60, down 9 on the open. March, 8:65, down 7½. May, 7:40, down 8½. July, 5:90, down 3. December corn opened at 3:50, down 2¼ on the open. March, 3:66½, down 2½. May, 3:76, down 3. July, 3:85, down 3½. September, 3:93½, down 2½. December, 4:01¼, down 3. May of 2009, 4:13½, down 3½ on the open. November soybeans open at 9:60, down 9½ on the open. January, 9:76½, down 8. March, 9:83½, down 6½. May, 9:83, down 10½. July, 9:87, down 11¼. August, 9:88, up 3. November of next year, 9:22, down 6¼ on the open. October soybean meal opened at 2.64, down 2.40 on the open. December, 2.6970, down $3. October soybean oil opened at 39.30, down 18 on the open. December, 39.75, down 14. At the Merck, October live cattle opened at 95.60, down 5 on the open. December, 99.35, down 10. February, 165, unchanged. April, 135, down 17½ on the open. September feeders open at 116.10, up 7½ on the open. October, 116.65, up 20. November, 116.75, up 17½. January, 115, up 7½ on the open. October lean hogs open at 63.90, up 2½ on the open. December, 66.30, up 30. February, 69.55, up 2½. April, 70.65, down 12½ on the open. And February pork bellies open at 86.30, down 62½ on the open.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Joining us on the report to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Dave. A beautiful morning in the Midwest.
It is a beautiful morning in the Midwest, and I imagine that the combines are going full bore today.
You know, I took a trip from Oakland to Decatur and then Decatur to, Oakwood yesterday, and there's still a mountain of work to do. You know, not a lot done. There's some, but the work is definitely in front of us in the south central Illinois.
Let's turn our attention then to the marketplace, where we have crude oil making new highs. We have the U.S. dollar in the doldrums around 15-year lows, and we have a sharp drop in the wheat market today. Try to explain that to me, please.
Well, basically, as T-Bone Pickens mentioned, who I think is probably the foremost authority in the energy market, said that, you know, I don't think crude oil is going to $100 a barrel unless there's a major event to push it there. But $80 a barrel crude oil has caught everybody's attention. As far as the dollar is concerned, it is trading higher this morning. The big interest rate cut with the car industry, in shambles, the housing industry in shambles, and the major money center banks in major crisis, the Fed did send a major reserve. It did improve the stock market. It's an additive that will help business in the United States 9 to 12 months down the road. I think the new modern Greenspan and Bernanke realized that without a strong economy, tax revenues drop, and it really paralyzes this new U.S. economy that is basically a different economy than it was in the 1950s and 60s. So one thing that they want to do is prevent a major recession, because it does create a lot of havoc and basically puts a lot of scars into the financial system.
I want to take us back to the September WASDE report for a minute, Paul. I know that on the day of the report, we talked about and noted that the ethanol for fuel was lowered by USDA from 3,400 to 3,300. And as we speak, we were talking about these high crude oil prices. And these prices aren't boosting the price of spot and future prices for ethanol. So I'm wondering if this is a signal that growth is overwhelming demand.
Well, number one is the Congress needs to pass the energy legislation for more mandating of ethanol into the blending system. You know, that's number one. Every time you see a politician in the state of Illinois or in presidential politics, you know, make sure they twist their arm on that, because that's very definitely the need. Also, the government, the real usage in corn is probably 3 billion bushels instead of 3.3 or something. The government has that over-ballooned on ethanol usage, 300 to 400 million bushels based on the present demand factored in. You know, these interest rates, and it's not as profitable, you know, in some areas, and the cost of putting these plants up are enormous. So it has the speculative money backed away from a lot of these new ethanol plants. All I can say is that ethanol is great. It needs to be promoted, and with energy prices at $82 a barrel, you would think Congress would push that energy legislation, because in order to have a stable economy, we do have to have lower energy prices. Greenspan said that, you know, if it's our modern societies at stake with high crude oil prices, so, you know, it's another reason to hope that the renewable energy can be factored into the price of gas at the gas tank.
You know, USDA doesn't have anything out there for public consumption on how it comes up with this estimated demand for corn from ethanol plants. Does it need to do so?
Well, I think they do. You know, they do have a deal where they have a monthly idea and usage, and they have it down pretty good, you know, with the plants that are in an operation, and you know, the blending tax that they work on, they have it down pretty close. The big thing is we don't know when the new investments are going to come in, and that's a little bit of a guess. And you know, and I'm sure they talked to manufacturers of those plants, and you know, it's pretty much a turnkey type of plant now too. You know, they have it pretty well down, and I think it's the idea that if this happens and if that happens, you know, they'll have a finger on how it's done. But it's pretty accurate how much fuel is being used. They have that down to a science.
But it's not explicitly stated what the formulas are like you are when you look at some of the other things.
And imports of fuel into the country is another, you know, unknown to them. But I think they have that pretty well down.
What about the idea that the USDA needs to maybe do something about DDGs and begin to really tell us how corn byproduct is incorporated into the feeding market so we can understand supply and demand?
As I understand it, the best explanation I heard on that was from Chris Hurt, and that is, you know, feed usage. And they also are working that in into the equation. My general expectation is that that's also factored in and pretty well down. Feed usage, I think, on the last USDA groups of numbers that they did put out, were pretty high on feed usage, with the general expectation of cheaper corn, more production would equate to more livestock feeding.
All right, let's get your crystal ball out, shine it up. In the December corn on the chart, does the July hold through the July low hold through harvest?
I think so, and I think it's going to be very, I think there's going to be a couple things here. There's been a mountain of storage built in the Midwest, and, you know, it'd be wonderful if we had another 1,000 hopper cars and another 500 barges in the system, but it does look like that this crop is going to be a manageable crop, and I don't think we'll break in the new lows like we are, but we still have a mountain of corn to pick. It wouldn't be surprising if they wouldn't inch the next production estimate up.
Are we due for a 50% correction in soybeans before a move higher?
Yeah, good question. A couple things. I think the bean yields are better than what the marketplace is indicating. I think the marketplace is trading a half a bushel to a bushel less on the next USDA report. Also, our private sources indicate that there'll be 10% more Brazilian beans planted down there. It's a month before planting. They're paying their fertilizer bills off, and the infrastructure is there for at least a 10% increase in bean production. With the bigger corn carryover, you know, the switch to beans could even be bigger without having a big acreage or price incentive there. So, you know, definitely quoting our old friend Earl Butts, price is the best fertilizer, and that should encourage a big production increase in South America, Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina, and also Brazil.
Turn your attention to the wheat market. It appears that we now know that $9.10 wheat reflects a 15.5 million metric ton crop in Australia. Not much left appears to feed the bulls. Is this break the top of the market?
Also, Russia indicated that their crop was 3 to 5 million tons bigger. Yeah. India basically announced that there's no need to import more wheat, and their inventory is pretty good. The wheat market, you know, and also our private sources think that the soft red winter crop around Illinois is going to be 25% bigger than last year. Seed companies indicate they've planted a ton of wheat. Weather is a big key to that equation. In Australia, good growing conditions in the U.S. and also Argentina. I think it's a mature market, but let's face it, there's a lot of twists and turns in here as we go up in these higher price levels. One would think, unless there's some surprise export demand, that we are going to basically ration usage here as we go to higher price levels. But it is a warning shot to the industrialized world that prices are a lot different than they were 10 to 20 years ago.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. You're listening to WILA Urbana. News from the NPR is next.